Hey, welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 133 for May 17th. Chance Watson and Molly Roberts.
Hello.
Bring you the news today. And this episode is brought to you by Bank CDA. Business loans are quick and easy when you work with the only local bank in North Idaho. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. Good qualities to have in a business. Local
Very
and
true.
Flexible.
Local and flexible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Molly. What's going on?
Oh, well, today I voted. It was a bit a complicated process. My complications, not the lovely, patient ladies working at the polling area. They were very patient with me and all my complications, so I was able to vote.
Are you a complicated person, Molly?
Yeah. I'll just admit it and say some, I don't mean to be, but it just seems like.
It just seems like it happens.
It just seems like it happens that for some reason things are very complicated around me. A certain type of complicated chaos follows me.
Sure.
And so.
Perhaps a bit of turbulence.
Oh, that's it. Thank you, Chance. That is it.
Got
it's
you.
The turbulence.
Yes, the turbulence.
Well, that's like, so I went in one time to get my ID updated. And for some reason, they read the name wrong when I got my name updated, and so they put Jessica Molly Roberts. And I, for about, I'm going to say 10 minutes, thought, do I just change my name? Do I just leave?
Right. Am I Jessica now? What is this life about for
okay,
me?
Okay, I guess I'm Jessica now. And then I finally was like, no, I got to go in, and I can't just let this go.
I can't just be Jessica?
I can't just be Jessica. But yeah, it's that kind of complicated stuff that, but it all seems to, you know, it all works out.
There's some fine Jessicas out there.
Oh, I like the name Jessica.
Sure.
I do like the name Molly, though, better.
I do like
the name Molly.
There's some good Mollies out there, too.
There are, yeah.
Yeah.
One of them right here. Most of them are dogs. Most of the good Mollies are household pets.
I can very much sympathize with you on that. Chance is a very common dog name.
That is a very common dog name. I'm okay. I'm all right, though, because usually, you know, that's... Dog people have a very positive, you know.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I had a beloved dog named Molly, and it's like, oh, okay. Where
that
sometimes you can be like, you know, people are like, oh, I met a Molly once, and I can never like another Molly again. You're like, okay, it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't upset you. So you voted, Chance?
I did vote. I went and voted. It was, I had to make a bit of a decision since it's primary day. I had to pick one side or the other to vote
right.
on. I figured that out. I went with my gut and made the call on that. So, as you listen to this, we're going to put it out here, before the polls close. So here's your reminder, go vote. It is important.
It is.
I always like to say that, you know, all voting's important, but, as the election and the candidates and the positions get further and further away from you, it becomes less and less important, you know, into a degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the president, obviously the leader of our country, but decisions made on that level, hard to affect your daily life. Whereas the decisions by your city council, by your mayor, by your assessors, these are the decisions that will affect your daily life immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's not as hip and as fun. It's not like American Idol, like the presidential elections are nowadays.
But
your local elections are very important.
They're very important.
And it's important to be educated on that and go vote.
And you can register to vote the day of. That's what I did.
You know what? Yep.
Even if it's a little complicated.
Can be complicated. Yep, absolutely. But stay informed on it and go cast your vote. It is important. I don't want to write another story today about how we had low voter turnout. That's not fun.
No, that won't be fun. We will weep on the pod if we have to read that story at the end of this week.
Nope.
So you guys want to make sure that we're smiling at the end of this week, go vote.
Yes, yes. speaking of being happy and smiling, Molly, my birthday was over the weekend.
Yes, yes, it was.
Yeah, and I Apparently, I'm still not old. 29 is not old.
No. Young.
Okay.
You're not 30 yet.
Good to hear that. Yeah.
Once you're 30, then I gotta tell you, everything starts falling apart.
Then it's all downhill from there.
Uh-huh.
What is, yeah, you remember the scene in Avatar The Last Airbender where Aang is fighting the Fire Lord?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I saw a meme that says, you know, your knees when you turn 30. And it's Sozin saying, "What did you do to me? I took away your bending."
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
I'm already feeling my knees. I already feel it in my knees. It's not
Yeah, great. You feel it in my knees, in my back. And it's like, really? It's going to get worse, huh?
Yeah. It doesn't get better.
Ooh,
it doesn't
get better. I'm sorry. I'm on the downhill now?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's all downhill
cool.
from here.
Cool.
But you know what?
That's all right.
That's just part of it. You know?
That is part of life.
It's just part of the ride.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah. I did get to enjoy, for the few hockey fans that listen to the show,
There was two of you.
There was five game sevens over the weekend that I got to sit down and watch. I really enjoyed all of them. Very happy with all of the outcomes, actually, which is very strange for me, despite the fact none of my teams are in the playoffs. But the teams that I was rooting for in those series, they won. So I'm very excited for that. And the series that's coming up, I'm very excited about. The two Florida teams are going to play each other, and the two Alberta teams are going to play each other, which is going to be just great. So even if you're a casual, you know, casual fan, I suggest tuning into these series. They're going to be very fun. Other than that, I got a little sunburn. I went rollerblading.
Yes, you did.
On my actual birthday on Sunday.
I unfortunately took a bit of a nap that
day.
Yeah,
a nap.
Oh, this weekend I was out of commission, everyone.
That's okay.
So,
Molly, you needed to rest and recharge.
Yes, so I did not join Chance in his shirtless rollerblading.
I did have a shirtless rollerblading. Mm-hmm. I needed sun. You know, it's
oh my gosh. I do not blame you.
I am one more cloudy week away because our weather has been awful,
gloomy. All of us have been in just a funk.
Yeah,
it's been like,
it
oh
sucks.
My gosh.
Especially when the weather is getting warmer, but the weather is not reflecting it.
Exactly,
it's rough.
It's and very rough,
man. Getting especially in like North Idaho, where mm-hmm. sun can go away for long times.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D deficiency is a thing.
Oh my gosh, it's a huge thing.
This is gonna turn this whole intro is just turn into a PSA on
PSA.
The importance
take
of vitamin D. Yeah, it's very important.
Take your vitamin D supplements, get out into the sun. Yeah, no, I did start taking vitamin D supplements because I realized, I was like, ooh, yeah, that they're just sometimes you get in a certain eye.
Like,
at
you
least.
Know,
it's a different sort of, it's like, it's a gloom.
Yes.
I feel like it is a gloom.
It's
of
almost
like
that realization sometimes where you go like, oh God, why do I just feel not good? And then you're like, oh, I haven't drank any water in like 5 days.
Right.
And you're like,
oh.
That's like, oh, that's dehydration.
Oh, no.
Like, I...
Yeah, why do I not feel good today? Oh, I've had 3 coffees and haven't eaten yet. Oh,
right.
Yes.
Right. And, that thing that we will die after if we don't have
if
it in 3 days.
If we don't drink it?
Yeah. Got it. Water. Okay. Yeah.
PSA. Vitamin D. Drink your water.
Drink your water. Yeah. And go out and rollerblade or break a sweat or do whatever.
Yes.
I think we talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
Yes.
Get out. But if you don't want to get out,
yeah.
There are some new, at least one little new thing that I
there
saw.
There is.
Is it called Kenobi? Kenobi?
I think it's called Kenobi. Like after that
Obi-Wan. It is Obi-Wan.
Like Kenobi. After that Obi-Wan guy.
After that guy.
Yeah.
If we remember him.
Old Ben.
Old Ben. So Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to be on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We'll see. I am
cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic. I always am kind of a fan of seeing, you know, the old gang get back together. Of like bringing the old cast and being like, okay. I mean, it can be, and we have seen it in the new Star Wars films be done incorrectly, unfortunately. But
what new Star Wars films?
That's true. I'm talking about the prequels, of course.
Yeah, the last one was Revenge of the Sith. And I won't hear otherwise.
Yes, I'm primarily talking about my distaste of Jar Jar Binks. Misa!
Oh, I'd watch a whole movie on Jar Jar Binks, then watch the sequels.
Okay, I did, when that, like, theory was going around about Jar Jar Binks actually being a powerful Sith, can you imagine if they went through with that?
That would be a better movie than the sequels. I'd watch that movie.
Yeah. I would have loved that.
Yeah, even, you know what, even the spinoffs mm-hmm. are better than the sequels. Like, Rogue One, Solo.
Solo? Like, I liked Solo.
Solo was good.
I think partly it's because, Danny Glover, he can
did
like
a
do,
good Lando.
He can do no wrong. He did a good Lando. He's just such a good Lando.
Yeah, he did a great Lando.
No, I really liked Solo, and yeah, Rogue One was pretty good. Rogue One, spoiler alert, is the one where they all like die.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they all die.
Yeah.
I'm going to touch on this, and then I promise I will move past my nerdiness. The only reason I didn't like Rogue One is because since Disney reset the canon, it basically makes the character that I loved in the non-canon stuff so, like, pointless now.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Katarn, he was only in the video games, but anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah, anyway. But no, other than that, Rogue One was a great movie.
No, I did like Rogue One.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I definitely think they're both better than
the ones
sequels.
We don't
they're so
speak
bad.
Of.
They're so bad. Like, the best one of the sequels is still really bad.
So you didn't like whiny Kylo Ren?
No, I didn't like whiny Kylo Ren.
Why would we ever want
I think
Adam Driver is a phenomenal actor. I think he's a great actor. I think he could have done a great job if they didn't make him a whiny, like...
I think even in the context of it, he could have been okay.
That's true, because, like, Joffrey from Game of Thrones is the whiniest villain,
right.
And he's a great villain.
Yeah,
they did it wrong. You're right. They could have... And that's not on Adam Driver's fault.
No,
I don't know whose fault it is.
In fact, the only...
J.J. Abrams?
It's J.J. Abrams, and then the other guy... The other guy that made The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. I heard this morning that he was supposed to get his own trilogy.
Mm.
It's being put on hold now,
ooh.
Which I'm not surprised in even the least bit, because he made The Last Jedi and it was the worst movie ever made.
Right.
Might be the worst movie ever made. And I watched The Langoliers.
The worst movie ever made. Oof.
I
watched Troll 3.
Ooh, that's not good.
No.
So the worst movie ever made is probably some, you know, bootlegged... something shot on 40 millimeter film kind
there's
of thing.
There's there's the podcast How Did This Get Made? Yeah. Do you ever watch that or listen to that?
No.
It's pretty good. So it's comedians. Jason Mantzoukas is on there, June Diane Raphael, Paul Rubens, sure. And so they all talk about all of these bad movies that they talk about how they got made, what the budget was for them, which is always just ridiculous that people spend millions of dollars on movies and then, you know, they make like a couple bucks at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. No, I don't think that those movies were bad because of, I think there was only one or two bad acting.
No, that's true.
In it.
Mm-hmm.
I despise the character Rose. I think that's her name.
Yes.
That might not even be her fault either.
I feel bad for the actress.
Yeah,
so much hate.
That's true.
She had to delete her Twitter. Ooh. Let's make sure that we are able to distinguish reality.
Right. This is not who the individual is. Like, this is, you can dislike the character, but.
Just like the character Joffrey from Game of Thrones. Let's not. And he did have to, like, he's quit acting because he got so much hate because he did such a good job. It's like, everyone, there is a difference between someone acting
and... Well, and that's messed up for even, like,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand
I don't get that either.
You cannot like a character.
Not liking the character of Rose. Okay, fine. Yes. That's understandable.
And that's partially not her fault.
No.
Let's go down the road for a second. Even if you think that... she did a bad job acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a reason to send her death threats.
No, never. Exactly. That's absolutely, that's unhinged.
It's like we had one bad show, which never, every one of these.
Oh, please.
Every one of these is absolute
is an
gold.
Absolute
it
gold.
It is spun gold going
just into, call us Rumpelstiltskin,
yep.
baby, because
yep.
we just spin gold.
Spin gold right into your ear holes
but
every episode.
But if we happen to not.
But if we didn't.
Imagine sending. I feel like if I got a death threat for not doing well on the podcast, I would crack up.
Right, I would be laughing. Like, really,
I would laugh.
This is the breaking point.
This is it. Yeah. Okay. It would be a little bit different though, being like a Hollywood celebrity and getting like thousands upon thousands. Like, I can't even imagine.
We're going to kick up. We're going to kick up here soon. We're going to pick one thing that Molly and I have to watch.
Right. Yes. Yes.
We're going to take turns. And we'll start talking about that a little bit going forward. We haven't picked one yet, but.
No, we haven't picked one yet, but maybe we'll have one before next step. We'll maybe. See. Maybe.
We'll see.
I can't make any promises.
It's a busy week.
It's a busy week. It is a busy week.
Oh, boy. All right, Molly, ready to go into some news?
Let's read some news.
All right. Have you heard about the Dave Smith adoption program? Every month, Dave Smith Motors is sponsoring a dog from Shoshone Pet Rescue and cats from the Silver Valley Cat Wranglers and Lorna's Lovelies, and covering the adoption fees 100%. This month, they are sponsoring Darren, a 2-year-old male dog who is smart and willing to please. For more information, please contact Shoshone Pet Rescue 208-512-3401. They're also sponsoring Blue, a 5-year-old female cat. She's a little timid, but very sweet. For more information, please contact Silver Valley Cat Wranglers at 208-446-7131. Also, Leo and Luca. This bonded sibling pair are 4 years old and a little timid. For more information, please contact Lorna's Lovelies at 208-704-5180. Also sounds like some of these groups are involved with a goat recently. Molly.
Yes,
Molly will be looking into
that. We will have an update on the goat. I already have a good amount of information. Mm-hmm. The goat is doing so well.
That's great. Good to hear about.
Is great.
Good to hear
his
about.
His name, they have named him King Silver. Mm. So those of you who are not in kind of the Silver Valley, there was a goat found on Silver Mountain. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, just wait. And yep. I will have a story.
We're going to leave
written.
That cliffhanger there for you.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Whoa. We're going to leave a little cliffhanger.
Uh-huh. All right, moving into Quarterly and Post-Wall's Press headlines for Saturday, May 14th. Some behavioral health programs to close. This is by Kay Thornbrew. Kootenai Health will soon close its inpatient addiction recovery program and outpatient psychiatry practice. Officials said they made the temporary move in order to stabilize other behavioral health programs amid severe staffing shortages and years of, quote, chronic underfunding for behavioral health services. Well, that's nothing new. Though Kootenai Health has stopped accepting new addiction recovery patients, all current patients will be able to complete their program. The physical outpatient psychiatry practice is expected to close by July 1. Some limited telehealth services will remain available. Employees on addiction recovery and in the outpatient psychiatry practice will reportedly have the opportunity to work in other areas of Kootenai Health. Rathrum resident Chris Morse has been in recovery for almost 8 years. That includes time in Kootenai Health's addiction recovery program. Quote, saved my life, he said. Morse was hospitalized due to drug-induced psychosis. After he was stabilized in the hospital's adult psychiatric unit, he moved into the inpatient addiction recovery program located on the same campus. The ratio of staff to patients was high, he said, and the environment felt safe and homey. Addiction is a lifelong illness, Moore said, and even those who worked hard to recover can relapse. He took comfort in the knowledge that Kootenai's health program would be there for him if he needed it again. He's unsure where he could receive that kind of care. People recovering from addiction aren't the only ones who feel that way. Quote, actually, Kootenai Health agrees with those that are upset about our decision to temporarily close the addiction recovery program, CEO John Ness told the press on Friday. The closure is the culmination of challenges that were exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, he said, chief among them labor shortages. Kootenai Health has 750 job openings as of Friday. That's ridiculous. Woo! Quote, it has become a real challenge to meet all the needs of the entire community in that environment, Ness said. In the current job market, Kootenai Health estimates that it will take at least a year to fill vacated behavioral health provider positions. The cost to hire just one temporary physician to cover the addiction recovery program for a year would be $1
million. $1 million!
That's an Austin Powers reference. For those who don't watch that kind of movie, Kootenai Health simply doesn't have enough staff to run all four behavioral units, said Chief Physician Executive Dr. Karen Cable. For that reason, she said, the hospital must concentrate existing staff and resources in order to care for patients with the most dire needs. Kootenai Health aims to stabilize its adults and youth psychiatric units. Quote, once that stabilization occurs, we have enough staff available. We would look to reopen the Addiction Recovery Center, Cable said. But that time could be years away. Not enough new graduates are entering the workforce to replace the behavioral health providers who are retiring or leaving the field, Cable said. The deficit is expected to last until 2027. With ongoing labor shortages without the external funding, it is difficult to predict when CUNY Health will have the resources to reopen the Addiction Recovery Program. In the meantime, individuals seeking elective inpatient care for addiction recovery will have to look outside the county, in Spokane, or even further afield. Communications Director Kim Anderson said that despite the current circumstances, CUNY Health remains the predominant provider of inpatient psychiatric services in North Idaho. The hospital offers the only inpatient program in the region that serves children between the ages of 5 and 12. Quote, we're sad to have to temporarily close the addiction recovery and outpatient psychiatric programs, Ness said. It's our full intention to remain committed to behavioral health services to all of North Idaho. Not good news.
750 open positions. That's
a lot.
That is so much.
That's you would think that's the current staffing, and
is 750. Yeah, but the it's fact not. That is, oh my goodness,
incredible.
That is
absolutely nuts.
All right, moving on. NIC board has new leadership. This is also by Kay Thurnbrough. The North Idaho College Board of Trustees has new leadership. In a special meeting Friday night, trustees voted unanimously to appoint David Wold to the position of chair. He replaces Todd Banducci, who remains on the board and who made the motion to place Wold in the role. Quote, I'm sure he will do an outstanding job as the chair, Banducci said. John Goad became vice chair, while Pete Brochet replaced Greg McKenzie as secretary treasurer. The State Board of Education appointed Goad, and Brochet to the NIC board last week. They will serve through the November election and the end of the year. The board voted unanimously to appeal the decision by NIC's property casualty insurer, the Idaho County's Risk Management Program, not to renew the college's policy after it expires June 30th. A notice of non-renewal obtained by the press, dated April 29th, states that ICRMP's decision, quote, is the result of numerous factors, including adverse claim development and increasing risk exposures. The notice gave no specific reasons for non-renewal. At Friday's meeting, Banducci made available copies of ICRMP's incurred losses for NIC between last year's 2017 and 2022. The document was labeled confidential. Quote, that is not public information, Goad said when Banducci introduced the document. Quote, I've made it public, Banducci said. NIC was unable to provide a copy of the document Banducci circulated. A photo obtained by the press was not fully legible, but some items could be read. Losses going back to 2017 totaled $2.4 million. By far, the greatest loss was the January 2021 windstorm, which caused around $1.5 million in damages. Oof. Two losses total around $250,000 each, a settlement for the 2021 firing of former NIC President Rick McLennan, and an item from the 2018-2019 year labeled, quote, whistleblower, discrimination, retaliation, misconduct. In the 2019 to 2020 year, ICRMP appeared to pay around $14,000 and around $10,000 for two separate items labeled disability discrimination / wrongful termination. Trustees also addressed the college's ongoing search for a permanent president. Mike Sabali, the college's former head wrestling coach, has been serving as interim president since last fall, following McLennan's termination. Brochet will replace former trustee Ken Howard on the presidential search committee, which the trustees empowered Friday to set dates for interviews with finalists. The board voted 3-2 to set a base salary for the permanent president of $220,000 to $240,000 per year. Goad said that the range is in line with what other community colleges in Idaho offer, though Banducci said many Kootenai County residents would be appalled to learn that a community college president earned so much. Quote, I think it's dangerous to start so high, Banducci said. Goad maintained that such a salary is needed to attract quality candidates, and Brochet offered data indicating that a range set is the median for college presidents in the region and state.
Okay, well,
it seems they're getting stuff done.
I was just about to say, it sounds like things are getting done.
Things are getting done. And there's you a know lot what? That needs to still be done, and it, but
for all the crap that I've gotten for talking about Banducci,
uh-huh.
Well, I haven't gotten any crap, but I've been rough on the guy.
I
actually haven't heard one thing about me saying anything bad about Banducci, but to his credit here, I think that, you know, releasing the losses from the college is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be public information. It's a public institution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So and the fact that its biggest losses were from the windstorm, I'm probably not surprised.
Right.
Considering it destroyed a building.
I was gonna say, like, that's it, right. It fell on children's. Yeah. And that's
different
than, like, mismanagement.
Sure.
That's something, that's a natural disaster that can't be helped.
Right.
Right.
And as far as base pay for the potential president, I'm not the expert on that. I don't know if that's a lot or a little in terms of that position.
I don't either.
I mean, to us, that's a lot, but
sure.
But compared to other, college president positions,
right?
I don't know if that's a lot or a little.
I don't. So either. Reading it, I didn't feel like. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a good amount of money. But
if you asked me on the street, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds right. Sure.
Right, but again, yeah, we have.
But
no
I have,
idea.
I have absolutely no
we have
idea.
No idea what like the base
it
is.
It could be.
So.
Could be a lot. Could be not.
Right.
Could, you know, no idea. Sounds good.
I'd like it. Sure. I wouldn't mind that salary. Actually, you know what? I'll throw my hat into the ring.
There we go. Boom.
Molly Roberts for president of NIC.
Molly Roberts for president of NIC. I'd vote for you, Molly. I already voted for you
Chance
once today.
Voted for Josh and I today.
Yeah, I did. Definitely did.
So if we win, well.
Yep. Heading to the
see you later.
State House of Representatives.
Hello.
This is Molly's last episode.
It's
everyone.
Josh and I.
The Broken Wheel Restaurant in Kellogg, Idaho is now open and ready to serve you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, offering only certified Angus beef. Come in and sink your teeth into a mouth-watering steak or burger. Special events include mystery darts on Fridays at 7:30 p.m., karaoke at 9 p.m. on Saturdays, and free kids' meals on Tuesdays. Open Thursday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday through Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Visit the Broken Wheel Restaurant today at 102 East Cameron Avenue in Kellogg. Takes into Sunday, May 15th headlines. Headline, Chance Watson's birth... Just kidding.
Wow, I can't believe the Coeur d'Alene Press had a headline for your
headline,
birthday.
Headline, Chance Watson's birthday. That was it. That was the headline. There was no other story. It was just an announcement.
No, that was the most important thing that happened.
Yep. Absolutely.
Hundreds march for women's rights. It was Chance's birthday.
Yep, Chance's birthday. Headline. That was bumped to the inside.
Yeah. Women's rights. Bump it.
Headline, hundreds march for women's rights. It's
I can't wait to hear you chant.
Dangerously close to a parade, but I'll let it slide. Your backwards views have got to go. And hey, mister, keep your laws off my sister. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Got it. Like okay.
I think Chance just
I had a seizure there for a second. I thought it was he-ho, not he-he-ho-ho. Your backwards views have got to go. Hey, mister, keep your laws off my sister.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm with it. Echoed from more of a crowd of 300 who gathered Saturday to join the Kootenai County Women's March on Sherman Avenue, the event planned by Laura Tennyson, was held in direct response to the possibility that the Supreme Court may overturn Roe v. Wade, the landmark case that legalized abortion nationwide. From Spirit Lake resident Pam Root, that possibility is frightening. Root was alerted to the event by her 15-year-old granddaughter, Aubrey, and came to support the future of women's freedom, she said. Quote, it's very unnerving when the more than 70% of the population polled shows they do not agree with the decision for Roe to be overturned, but they are going to do it anyway, Root said. You have to think about the bigger picture and wonder what's behind it, why this is being allowed to happen. It's extremely concerning. Pearl Baker marched for women in 1973 in Los Angeles. Thousands of people stood alongside her that day, she said Saturday. Quote, I'm here for future generations. I did this 50 years ago, and I'm going, and I'll keep going into it until the day I die, Baker said. Teresa Borenpohl took to the megaphone before the march started. Quote, What's most important in this moment right now is to know that you are not alone, Boren Pohl said. Look around you. The first time I came to one of these, I was so emotional because I realized my neighbors are with me. That was inspiring because it let me know that I can act with confidence. The issue isn't about babies, though. The, quote, other side would have us believe it is, Boren Pohl said. Quote, the other side will also tell you that in Texas, they're considering the death penalty for women who seek abortions. So pro-life, they'll try and kill you. Nor is the issue about religion, Boren Pohl said. Marchers carried signs saying, quote, pregnancy starts with a penis. Regulate that. I think it's the first time that I've said that word on the show. Betsy Kovach sign read, I will not go quietly back to the 1950s, and quote, same crap, different century. For mother and daughter Karen Nelson and Amy Croteau, and their friend Lynn Fleming, metal coat hangers dangling on their shirt fronts communicated their message. Boy, oh boy. The march was carried out peacefully, though there were a few protesters standing along the route. One man who declined to give his name refuted the idea of women's autonomy in making medical decisions. Quote, my body, my choice is simply not true, he said. Tennyson announced at the third annual Women's March a week ago. She said engagement on the Kootenai County Women's March Facebook page was three times higher than they've seen for past marches. Marchers walked 1.6 miles to the Kootenai County Courthouse and gathered briefly outside before disbanding. Now, did they walk on the sidewalk or the street?
Because I was going to say, depending on where they walked. Chance's hang up is this a parade?
Depending on where they walked, I might have a huge issue with this.
It could have been a parade.
I'm a supporter of this event until they got into the street.
Until they get into the street. Then, if it's considered a parade, whoo, we gotta figure it out.
Yeah. Women's rights, fine. You just don't need to block traffic.
Just don't block traffic, okay? I don't know. Yeah, I've got some opinions here, and
you have some opinions here, Molly?
On one or two things. Mm, okay. But probably I don't know. Shouldn't. I always hesitate sometimes to get, you know, as a unbiased journalist, mm-hmm, I like to. Mm-hmm, Maybe take a deep breath and I don't know, that marches do sort of, I never really see the
point. What do they accomplish? Like, you can support it, but at the end of the day.
And I get that almost it's a showing of, look, we have 300 people that support this, which is great, which is cool, but I do. And this is coming from me, who isn't necessarily doing anything besides speaking about it.
Sure.
But yeah,
and the March, Kootenai County Courthouse, what did the, you know, does anybody in the Kootenai County Courthouse have any say on this matter?
Sure, and yeah, I don't know.
So I you can be supportive yet understand that, you know, it's more of just a show of support kind of thing.
It is a show.
It's not necessarily to accomplish much.
Sure, that it's not. I mean, yeah, yes, definitely.
But lots of people do that.
Quote, though, interesting from the man who declined to give his name, my body, my choice is simply not true.
That is a very strange.
That is a very strange. Is he very talking about every human being that choice is not true? Because that's kind of frightening.
He sounds like one of those fellows that throws blood at people.
Ugh.
Or red dye, rather.
Yeah. Right. You're murdering babies.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Not great. Restore your smile. Restore your confidence. Complete Dental Care delivers quality dental care and complete customer satisfaction with state-of-the-art technology. They guarantee a positive dental experience, a bright smile, and restored confidence. Schedule your appointment today. Call 208-682-4540. Complete Dental Care is located at 418 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg. To learn more, visit CompleteDentalNW.com. Moves into Monday, May 16th headlines. Headline, Memorial Day Ceremony Set. This by Bill Bealey. Memorial Day ceremonies with speech, salutes, and songs are scheduled throughout Kootenai County, and the public is encouraged to attend. Glad that not one of them is a parade. Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 889 will lead things off at 9 a.m. on May 30th at McEwen Park Visit Veterans Memorial Plaza, and will include prayers with Chaplain Dennis Watch, the laying of a wreath in Lake Coeur d'Alene by veteran Bob Banta, and guest speaker Bill Jasper. It will include an honor guard and the playing of taps. Another ceremony is scheduled at 11 a.m. at Forest Cemetery, which will also feature a guest speaker, honor guard, and taps. The Rathrum American Legion Post 154 at the City of Rathrum will conduct a Memorial Day ceremony starting at noon at Rathrum's Pine Grove Cemetery. Coeur d'Alene Memorial Gardens will have a ceremony as well at 10 a.m. on May 30th to recognize the sacrifice of veterans. The service will include a roll call for veterans who passed away the previous year through May. There will also be food and beverages. American flags will be displayed along the main driveways as well as on each veteran's headstone about a week prior to Memorial Day. Hayden will hold two Memorial Day ceremonies. The first will begin at 9:30 a.m. at Honeysuckle Beach with the laying of a wreath and the tolling of boats honoring those servicemen and women lost at sea. The ceremony will include a prayer, laying of a wreath, and a rifle salute and taps. Main ceremony is scheduled 11 a.m. at McIntyre Family Park at Hayden City Hall. It will include presentation of colors, the national anthem played on the violin by 2021 Hayden Got Talent winner Paige Dance. Woo! What a great name.
Ooh, that is a good name.
Placement of the memorial wreath welcomed by the mayor. Reading of New Pavers Memorial Day Address by Kristen Phillips, a bagpipe rendition of Amazing Grace. I know Kristen Phillips. She was instrumental in helping me find a home for my grandfather's airplane collection when he passed. By the Hot Punch Highlanders and a rifle salute. Love that name. The ceremony will conclude with taps and the retiring of colors. The Memorial Day address will be given by U.S. Navy veteran Kristen Phillips. She retired from the U.S. Navy Reserves as an Air Traffic Controller Senior Chief E-8 in 2002 after 28 years of total service. She currently serves as Secretary for the Kootenai County Veterans Council. She's good egg, that one. Phillips is the daughter of an Air Force pilot and the granddaughter and grandniece of Army service members from World War I. Quote, service runs deep in her family. Inspirational speech is sure to touch everyone in attendance, according to a press release. Ceremonies are also held at Pleasant View Cemetery and Evergreen Cemetery in Post Falls and Greenwood Cemetery in Spirit Lake. Lots of Memorial Day stuff going on.
Memorial Day services going on.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, moving on. KHS at canine capacity. This is by Bill Bewley. Dogs from Texas, California, and Worley have pushed the Kootenai Humane Society to canine capacity. Quote, we're full, said Vicki Nelson, KHS Development Director, which makes things a bit chaotic, but staff handles whatever comes their way with grace. Quote, you never know around here what's going to happen, Nelson said. The shelter has just over 50 dogs, including some from a hoarding situation in Worley.
Stop hoarding dogs.
Stop hoarding animals.
Yeah. Well, or stop hoarding in general. It's probably not a good thing.
Sure. However, if you are going to hoard something, hoard like phone books or something.
Something useful.
Not. Or even stuffed animals.
Sure.
Delightful.
Whatever.
The shelter. So about 20 dogs were discovered in a home after a man was recently evicted from the property. 20 dogs. If you are one single human being and you have over, I'm going to say maybe like 5 dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Too many dogs. KHS received 6 of the dogs, including Chihuahuas and 3 of a hairless breed known as a Chinese crested dog. The middle-aged dogs were generally in good condition, but there were some dental needs, and one had to have an eye removed due to an infection. Okay. That is unfortunate. Boo. Nelson said the hairless dogs were the first of their kind at KHS in her decade with the nonprofit. A rescue flight from Texas also recently delivered about 10 dogs, a mix of labs, heelers, and hounds that were about to be euthanized. KHS is a no-kill shelter.
That's nice.
Another flight from Los Angeles arrived with 11 dogs, including many puppies. The next flight with dogs more from Los Angeles isn't scheduled until May 25th. Even though the shelter is running near capacity, it accepts transfers because that prevents dogs from being put down. KHS also enjoys great success finding them homes. This year, KHS has accepted close to 200 animal transfers and has adopted out a total of 280 dogs and 132 cats. Crowded conditions aren't unusual at the aging shelter on the north end of Ramsey Road, Nelson said. Dogs are sharing kennels when possible, and volunteers are walking them often, as life for dog in a crowded kennel can be stressful. Meantime, KHS is continuing to raise money for its new home under construction on 10 acres west of the Coeur d'Alene Airport on Atlas Road.
Okay, well,
I do like that they're being sent to Kootenai Humane Society, yep. Where they are not going to be euthanized.
Doing
and
good
they
work
will be
there.
Rehomed. Gosh, it does
just... wish they could get that new shelter.
Yeah, get the new... that'll,
they'll get there.
They will. They'll get there.
On those busy school nights with hours of sports practice and dance class, when you just don't have time to make dinner, your local McDonald's has got the whole family covered. Whether you get a Happy Meal with Chicken McNuggets for the kids or a Big Mac for the adults, pretty sure Chicken Nuggets can be for adults too, dinner is sure to be a quick, easy, stress-free, and satisfying. Your locally owned and operated McDonald's is located at 820 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Takes into Tuesday, May 17th headlines. Headline, Advancing Opportunity, Prosperity, and Growth. This is by Devin Weeks. A new era of philanthropy and opportunity is dawning in the Inland Northwest. On Monday, the Inovia Foundation announced Launch NW, a community and economic vitality initiative that will span 20 counties in North Idaho and Eastern Washington. The initiative will impact urban and rural communities across Inovia's service regions, including 150,000 students and more than a million residents. Quote, Launch NW is an amazing opportunity to build on local workforce and invest in children and future of North Idaho. North Idaho Regional Engagement Manager Amy Voller told the press, quote, bringing together nonprofits, businesses, local governments, and education will allow us to better serve our community. Inovia is a foundation that forms partnerships to improve communities. It works with partners to identify and respond to the region's greatest opportunities, help those in need, and leave a lasting impact. Its vision for Launch NW is simple, to advance opportunity, prosperity, and growth in the region. Quote, we're starting in Spokane in Kootenai County, but we're going to do a big rollout to all 20 counties, Inovia Foundation CEO Shelly O'Quinn, what a name, said during a media event May 10th. Quote, a Promise Scholarship will be introduced starting in the fall of 2024. Launch NW will work with the community to eliminate barriers to high school completion and post-high school educational goals. This includes college and workforce training, apprenticeships, trade pathways, and more. Although the Promise Scholarship is a tool of Launch NW, O'Quinn was clear that this is not an education initiative. It's a workforce development and economic development initiative for our region, she said. In the research leading up to it, O'Quinn said that the Launch NW team heard loud and clear from the community that it can't just be about education. Spokane County Commissioners have allocated $5 million to serve students and families in Spokane County. A $1 million investment has been made by the city of Spokane Valley. According to data prepared for the launch of Launch NW, more than 60% of all projected job openings in Kootenai County will require at least some form of post-secondary education by 2026. Nearly 40% of the white population, about half the American Indian population, and about 60% of the Asian population in Kootenai County are most likely living at or below the ALIS, or Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed Threshold. Partners have been working on the Launch NW initiative for more than a year. It's modeled after Say Yes to Education, a nonprofit founded in 1987 to improve inner-city education and support all students on their academic journeys to obtaining post-secondary degrees. Fundraising will continue with the goal of announcing scholarships for the class of graduating seniors in the spring of 2024. A fundraising total and timeline will be identified once organizers receive data from Idaho. Washington data was received in October. Idaho data should be received soon, O'Quinn said. Initiative organizers have communicated with area mayors, superintendents, and other civic leaders in Kootenai County. Post Falls Mayor Ron Jacobson watched a presentation on Launch NW and said it will be interesting to see where the program goes in the future. Inovia has already been very influential in North Idaho with certain initiatives, especially during the pandemic. Mm. So this is a good group. Good group, it seems like, and can only get better.
Excellent. All right, another little update on the NIC trustees. Chair thinks that cooperation among all five is possible, which is very nice. This is by Kay Thornbrough. The newest members of North Idaho College's Board of Trustees have wasted no time in tackling some of the most pressing issues facing the institution. Quote, right now, I think the board is probably more unified than it's been for a long time, Chair David Wold said on Monday. At a special meeting last Friday, just a week after the State Board of Education filled the three vacancies, trustees voted unanimously to make Wold chair. It was the last action at a brief but productive meeting where trustees empowered the Presidential Search Committee to set dates for in-person interviews and voted 3-2 to set the president's base salary. The new trustees formed the majority of the split vote. They each told the press on Monday that swiftly hiring a permanent resident president is a top priority. Quote, "It's important to move in a timely manner so we can get some stability at the head of the college," said Pete Brochet, who was named vice chair at Friday's meeting. Mike Sabali, the college's head wrestling coach, has served as interim president since last fall, following the termination of former NIC president Rick McLennan. Hiring a permanent president is one of several recommendations made by NIC's accrediting organization, which recently sanctioned the college with a warning. Wold said the search committee hopes to select finalists within the week. The candidates could be on campus for interviews in early June. "It's essential to have a president in place before the school year begins," Wold said. And after months of little progress due to the board deadlocked in a 2-2 vote, he does believe it's possible now. Quote, "We're feeling very good," he said. Goad said he thinks the board should pay particular attention to NIC's finances. Quote, "We may have to self-insure," he said. "If that's the case, we have to have the wherewithal to do that." The board voted unanimously Friday to appeal the decision by NIC's property casualty insurer, the Idaho County's Risk Management Program, not to renew the college's policy after it expires June 30th. A notice of non-renewal obtained by the press, dated April 29th, gave no specific reasons for non-renewal.
All right. Well, while they said that they should be working together, it doesn't sound like they're necessarily getting along yet. But you know what? Seems a little better than what was there.
A little better. They were at least making progress, which they were deadlocked for a very long time.
I agree.
If you're looking for a refreshing, locally made beer, check out Radio Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. The tap room is open 7 days a week. They offer delicious craft beer and awesome snack and food options. To learn more, visit radiobrewing.com. Radio Brewing. Put radio in your mouth hole.
What are they, anything new going on up there? Any new beers or anything, Molly?
Well, they still, I believe, have that collab with Grand Teton, the 2 to Tango, a hazy IPA.
They're hosting an event.
They are, here. Which, moving into Shoshone. West Shoshone Firefighters putting the fun in fundraiser.
Whoa.
Who came up with that headline?
I don't know, but whoever did is clever.
Whoever did should certainly get a raise.
They should certainly get a raise. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, this was by me. Mm-hmm. Put on your dancing shoes and enjoy a night of live music, dinner, and drinks to support the third annual community fundraiser for the West Shoshone County Firefighters Local 2043. Quote, "A lot of people love this event. They get to come out and meet their firefighters that service the west end of the valley," said firefighter and advanced emergency medical technician Tyler Rochford. "This is the second year that the local firefighters have collaborated with local brewery Radio Brewing to create a specialty beer to commemorate the evening. Live music will be provided by local favorite bands for, is it Sphearwood?
Sphearwood.
With their wide range of music covers from rock, country, and some modern rock classics." Quote, "You can buy tickets for the event at the Kellogg Fire Station, the Bean, and Radio Brewing Company. This is the same event as last year, but the money raised will help the athletic department at Kellogg High School to help build a new concession stand at Teeters Field. Those looking to support the event may also pre-order a local 2034 Union annual fundraiser shirt for $25. A specialized shirt with the KHS Wildcat mascot, complete with flames in the background, with the sale ending May 23rd, and t-shirts available to be sold online or at the event. Tickets for the event are $50, which include one commemorative pint glass, a free pour of the special beer release, and dinner."
All right.
And they also have auction items up. Tickets can be bought at Radio Brewing, The Mean, or the Kellogg Fire Station.
I went up there last year, and it was a good time.
Yeah, part of me, I kind of had the thought of like, should I ask Ashley if I could work this event? And then I was like, I mean,
one way or another, you could go up there and take some pictures. So.
One way or another, I could go take some pictures. I just definitely, I at the moment, you know, do not have $50 to spend on a ticket.
No. Good thing the press. There's certain perks.
Press pass.
All right, moving on. Authorities warn BOCC of potential grizzly issue. This is by Josh McDonald. Boo, Josh, boo. Last week, the Shoshone County Board of County Commissioners, Shoshone Board of County Commissioners, there we go, met with Shane Robinson, Idaho USDA Wildlife Specialist, and John Hall, Director District 1 of Animal Damage Control Board, for a Wildlife Services Area update. The annual update was fairly uneventful. However, both Robinson and Hall warned the BOCC of a potential worrisome issue. Quote, "Grizzlies are going to be the next problem around here, we think," Hull stated. Robinson explained further how he has already dealt with four different grizzly bear encounters in the Idaho Panhandle this spring. The most recent of these happened in the small town of Naples between Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry along Highway 95. Robinson believes that the reason for the increase in sightings has to do with the late and cold spring that we're experiencing in North Idaho, and that a lack of foliage in the high mountain areas is driving the bears into lower country. Grizzly bears seemingly require a vast amount of space to themselves, occupying up to 600 square miles. Naples is roughly 30 miles from the northern tip of Shoshone County, which makes Hull's prediction seem even more plausible. While more common in western Montana, the Bitterroot Mountains that make up much of the northern Idaho-Montana border are home to a fairly large population of grizzlies. Robinson and Hull both recommended that anyone with livestock living in the more rural parts of Shoshone County to keep an eye on their animals and report anything that seems suspicious or out of the ordinary. According to the National Wildlife Federation, there are at least 1,500 grizzly bears in the lower 48 states, and they are currently considered a threatened species due to overhunting. Shoshone County makes an annual contribution of $1,000 to the Animal Damage Control Board, and according to BOCC Chairman Mike Fitzgerald, the cost significantly outweighs the potential impact. Well, be careful around the grizzlies. Don't be mean to them. And
I might approach them for a bear hug.
Oh, you
if I die from bear attack, you know why.
Walked right into that one, yeah. Right into the bear hug.
Right into the bear hug.
Watts Appliances has been providing incomparable customer service to the Silver Valley for over 50 years. The family-owned and operated business has the wealth of knowledge regarding appliances and the brands they sell. Whether you're in need of a new washing machine or have questions about refrigerators, Watts Appliances is ready to help. Visit wattsappliance.com or stop by and visit at 3 North Division Street in Pinehurst. Let's move north to the Bonner County Daily Bee out of Sandpoint. Headline from Saturday, May 14th.
Two elk killed, left to waste. This is by Emily Bosung. Idaho Fish and Game is seeking information on two bull elk which were illegally killed and left to waste near Kerr Lake. Located between the West Side Road and Copeland Road, the two bull elk were found approximately 200 yards apart and were killed between the evening of April 3rd and the morning of May 1st. After discovering the animal, the landowner contacted Idaho Fish and Game on May 1st. Conservation Officer Nate Gaddy, stationed in Bonner's Ferry, said this incident is classified as poaching since it took place outside of the hunting season. Gaddy said the killing of the elk was an egregious act and that nothing was harvested from them. Their antlers had already fallen off in early spring. Gaddy said that poaching is not as common in May versus the hunting season where an individual may bend or break rules. The penalties for poaching vary depending on the species. Poaching moose or mountain goats, a once-in-a-lifetime hunt for some, can result in fines of $10,000. For other species, such as elk and turkey, the fines are different. Another determination is the number of animals poached. If the number of poaching cases is significant enough to affect the species population in a particular area, the number of tags issued could change, Gaddy said. However, he noted it would have to be decided by fish and game biologist. Anyone with information related to the incident is encouraged to contact Gaddy at 208-916-5902 or call the Citizens Against Poaching hotline at 1-800-632-5999. Information can also be reported online, and callers can remain anonymous. Information leading to charges being filed would be eligible for a reward from the program.
Hey, don't poach things.
Yeah, don't poach things.
That's all I got. Yeah, don't be poaching. It's frowned upon.
And you know what? Okay, yeah.
It's not frowned upon. It's illegal.
Like, stance, don't poach. Other stance, if you happen to poach, don't just leave.
Yeah, who does that?
Take what you have killed.
Kind of sick. Never mind. Have strong opinions on that.
I'm not a fan of poaching.
Nope.
Blanket statement.
If you're gonna,
Molly Roberts, not a fan of poaching, everyone.
Would you also like to end world hunger?
Of course I would. World peace?
Yep, yes. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yep, yep.
Got world them. Peace. Poached eggs. Oh, now poached eggs I can get down with.
Thanks, research department. Appreciate the contribution of poached eggs. Home of the lowest prices on all things outdoor since 1975, Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. Moves into Sunday, May 15th headlines. Changes ahead for Teen Center. This is by Bo White Eagle. There will be fewer bowling days at the Sandpoint Teen Center after the end of the school year. The center announced that there will be less bowling at Huckleberry Lanes and participated in Idaho Gives in hopes of generating funds for alternatives as well as for other aspects of the program. The STC is a nonprofit organization that offers local teens activities and programs that are not only fun but educational, with the goal of helping teens develop leadership qualities, interpersonal skills, and community awareness. The center also provides a safe environment where teens can socialize while getting healthy snacks and meals. Among the many programs and activities, teens can enjoy bowling 5 nights a week in Huckleberry Lanes, at least until the end of the school year when the partnership between STC and Huckleberry Lanes will change. The center does have its own building that features a bakery and lounge, but partnered with Huckleberry Lanes to allow kids to bowl in a specific window of time marked for STC. Moving forward, bowling alley officials told the center that they can only host the STC 2 days a week instead of five. The fewer number of days may not seem like an issue initially, but program director Phyllis Jay said it does pose a challenge for filling those days during the summer. Jay estimated that about 1,000 kids attend the bowling program in the last month. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Jay says that has begun looking into alternatives like another building, working closely with a local contractor on these possibilities and raising money for the project in the meantime. Another building would not only solve the loss of the bowling alley, but also allow for more fitness programs, additional office space for staff, and even a study hall. Idaho Gives took place from May 1st to the 5th and gave participants the opportunity to raise money for the organization through donations and cash prizes based on donations. STC set a goal for Idaho Gives of $10,000 and was able to raise $4,605 during the competition. All the programs offered can benefit teens in a number of ways. Jay says that she also sees the impact of STC has on the community by giving teens a place to go and have fun in a safe environment, featuring a zero-tolerance policy for bullying and disciplinary action, such as banned periods for bad behavior. The center is asking for community to see the value in it and donate toward the new building or volunteer. Donations can be mailed to STC with the label, quote, building fund, or submitted online by going to the STC website. That's a lot of kids bowling all the time.
That is. That's a, yeah. I love that Huckleberry Lanes.
Yes.
That is so cute.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
Oh my goodness. Ready? Set? Action! This is by Carolyn Lossinger. Action! Mm-hmm. Imagine an iceberg.
Okay.
A tiny bit sits above the water, while below is a vast majority of the structure. In some ways, theater can be compared to that image. The tip of the iceberg is the production, the show that everyone sees, but what people don't see, the base of the iceberg, are the lighting designers, stagehand, production crews, costume designers, directors, and more. Those folks are often invisible, but they are integral to the success of a production. Local youth will now have a chance to learn all about theater from the very beginning as part of an immersive 4-week summer camp put on by Lake Ponderay Repertory Theater. Quote, students are going to be able to have the full experience, Gray said. There will be auditions, casting, rehearsals, building, and costume design, prop design, everything that it takes to put on a production. All right, I might be going back in education because I want to teach this. Quote, there will be all of these really fun immersive experiences. That really is what theater is. While Gray and Roberts will be on hand to help. What?
Molly's already been signed up.
I had no idea I was already signed up.
Me?
I accept.
Huh?
They are going to be active participants in every decision and every part of the process of putting on the production of Peter Pan. Over the 4 weeks, the students will rehearse, build sets and props, learn to analyze a script, create costumes, play theater games, and gain confidence daily. The camp will culminate in 2 performances of Peter Pan at the Panita Theater on August 6th and 7th. The camp is part of a year-round education program being launched by LPO Rep to teach all aspects of putting on productions and to create a culture of theater that will sustain year-round productions in the community. The education program will teach everything from theater fundamentals to the technical skills of acting, from auditioning to rehearsing to stage blocking and lighting design, as well as writing and directing, Robertson Grace said. In the fall, classes will focus on the fundamentals of theater, learning and practicing the skills. The 10-week courses will get funding assistance from the Pondere Arts Council, helping make them affordable for students. Students will also learn how to take a story from the page to the stage, Roberts said. I don't remember saying that, but it's a good line.
Yep, it is.
Another immersive experience is planned for winter, where both youth and adults will learn how to direct a show, assemble a production crew, and cast actors. Students who may not want to be on stage will learn lighting and costume design to be a part of the production team. It was important to figure out how to incorporate that aspect of theater into the camp and into the education program LPO Rep is launching. The behind-the-scenes part of theater are as important and a key part of creating the theater culture they both dream of having in the community. Having grown up loving theater and knowing from their early days that they wanted to be involved in theater, Gray and Roberts said they wanted to provide that same experience for others to give them a chance to learn and have fun through creating a production. By creating an education arm of LPO Rep, Roberts and Gray said they hope to teach those skills, build the foundation, and create the culture so that productions aren't just random events here and there, but are part of a year-round program. While students may or may not want to pursue a theater career, the skills they learn through the arts are ones they apply to life in general and help them become a well-rounded person, Gray said.
Molly, I think you could probably get on board with this.
Yes, I think perhaps. Have I done acting before in my life?
A fellow thespian.
Yes, I am a thespian. While the camp has a $250 tuition, LPO Rep has teamed up with Pondere Arts Council to offer scholarships for those who need them. Registration for the camp, which will kick off in July, opens today, or a couple days ago, May 15th. All youth between the ages of 8 and 18, I just missed the mark, are invited to enroll in the summer camp production. The first day of camp will be Monday, July 11th, with classes taking place from 1 to 4 p.m. through August 3rd. The first week of camp will take place at the Heartwood Center, with the rest of the camp being held at the Panita. For more information, www.lporep.com. I am excited about that.
I say, maybe you should just show up and lend your amazing skills.
Hello, everyone. I'm not sure if you listen to the podcast, but I am Molly Roberts from the podcast, and I'm here to...
I've also been in several plays.
Have any of you heard the Sixth Street Melodrama?
Mm-hmm.
Well... Let's go back to a time when dinosaurs were... Hello.
not a big brag, but in the fourth grade... In the fourth grade, I was Clark in the Lewis and Clark play.
So we have two actors in the room.
Auditioned for the dog role of the Lewis and Clark.
But.
And they promoted me to lead Clark.
Don't worry. No. We'll get chance in the theater again,
not
listeners,
a big deal,
okay?
Not a big deal. It's fine. You know, whatever. Just try. Somebody recognized the talent, and I appreciate it.
Still riding that high from
still
years
doing
ago.
Real good from that production of the Lewis and Clark play. Prairie View Elementary School. I think there's a plaque somewhere.
Oh, do you think you have a tape of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Oh boy.
Probably. Yeah. All right, moving on. Tuesday, May 17th. Headlines. Come on and get lost in the 50s. This is by Carolyn Lobsinger. Dig out your poodle skirt, grab your leather jacket, and come get lost in the 50s. After a two-year hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the homage to the music, spirit, and fun of the era returns to Sandpoint Streets Friday and Saturday. Organizer and founder Carolyn Gleason announced in March that the event would be back for its 35th anniversary, and this week, the city of Sandpoint has issued the official event permit. Lost in the 50s Parade...
Will take place on Friday, May 20th.
Participating cars will stage at the Sandpoint High School and block traffic for hours as they block up. And I'm just kidding. Sandpoint High School parking lot and the official downtown parade route begins at 5th Avenue and Church. Cars will then proceed east on Church, blocking traffic from 1st Avenue before turning north to Cedar and ending at the corner of 5th and Cedar. A street dance will follow the parade on Main Street next to Jeff Jones Town Square. At the fairgrounds, R&B legend Darlene Love, whom Gleason said, quote, embodies what the 60s era is, will perform Friday. On Saturday, the Grammy Award-winning duo The Righteous Brothers will perform.
What?
Both shows start at 7:30 p.m. I kind of want to check this out,
It
Molly.
Does sound very cool.
This might be a time to
That's
go up
this
and...
weekend? Oh, boy.
Might be a time to go up and get our rollerblading
Do
in.
Some blading?
Mm-hmm. Snagging on the back of some rigs. That'd be fun. City street crews will... We won't be doing that. That was a joke, everyone. Won't be doing that.
Oh, God. Those pesky Chicago News Press kids are grabbing the back of our vehicles.
Podcasters. Jeez. City streakers will sweep downtown streets early.
You just said city streakers, I believe.
City streakers?
I feel like you said city streakers.
City street crews.
Okay.
That will be fully clothed. We'll sweep downtown streets early on Saturday, May 21st, allowing car show participants to begin staging around 6 a.m. The Lost in the 50s car show begins at 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning and continues until 3:45 p.m. Since the car show application was posted on the Lost in the 50s Facebook page, 525 cars have pre-qualified, with more submitted daily. Gleason said she expects 700-plus cars to take part in the event, with cars coming from as far away as Canada and Texas. The city is once again providing a designated vendor court location in the public right-of-way for vendors not officially associated with Lost in the 50s, Sandpoint City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton said. Mobile vending and alcohol consumption is not permitted on public sidewalks or right-of-ways. I'm sure everybody's going to follow that rule. Unless specifically permitted by the city, such as sidewalk cafes operated by a downtown business. I'm sure everybody will get the proper permits and follow the rules to a T. 100%. Not a single non-permitted drink at this event. Not one.
I can't imagine.
The city clerk's office at 1123 Lake Street is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Everybody will, there's just gonna be a line because everybody's gonna follow the rules and get a permit to drink. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For more information, check out the Facebook page at Lost in the 50s.
It does sound fun.
Other than the parade. Sounds pretty great.
We will skip out on the parade.
Definitely not skipping out. Definitely not going to go to that.
The street dance, though.
I'm
into a good street dance.
I can't disagree with that.
Fame! I'm gonna live forever! The best street dance of all time. Gosh.
Oh, we have tapped into Thespian Molly for the last part of the show. She's feeling the stage.
I am feeling the stage.
She needs the spotlight, everyone.
I do.
What did you call that young woman?
I'm a Thespian.
A Thespian.
A Thespian. Oh, a fellow Thespian.
My nephew's a Thespian.
Once again, we'd like to thank Bank CDA for sponsoring this episode. Business loans are quick and easy when you work with the only local bank in North Idaho. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. Everybody, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
We hope that you have just as much fun with us as we do have making the show.
As we do with you.
We do, yes, absolutely. We really hope that you subscribe to the show on whatever podcatcher or music app that you use. We're on all of them. Just hit a little subscribe and leave a nice review if that's an option on what you use. If you're interested in the stories we talked about today or the ones we did not, check us out at www.coeurdaluepress.com, shoshonnewspress.com, bonnercountydailybee.com, or the Bonner's Ferry Herald.com. Molly.
Trance.
That's it for today.
That's it for today.
Thanks, everyone, again.
Thank you so much. Go vote.
Yes, go vote. Go vote. See you on Friday.
Bye.